It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
You name it, we're going to cover it here. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Actually, we're not going to cover everything because this is actually a money show. Good morning, Sunday morning. Wes Moss here on a Sunday morning in the studio with me. Luke Moss here. I guess he'll probably do the weather. He's starting to do the weather with us here. But I'll start out with that. Partly cloudy skies this morning, and it will become overcast during the afternoon. High 67 tonight, overcast with a low of 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 69. At night, a 40% chance of rain, low 53. Brought to you by Shoemates. So a week of extremes, a massive week of extremes in markets and the world and politics and pretty much everything we cover. And of course, it all creates this churn and this swirl to the capital markets, the equity markets, the bond market, which of course impacts all of us right smack dab in the wallet. And that's why we're here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11. We are in our ninth year now of Money Matters, and we love taking calls and your questions throughout the day. How all of this relates back to, really, do you really care about what Trump's doing right now? And do you really care about Snapchat? Really, what you care about is how your money is doing and how your money is invested for the future. And that's really what we're trying to cover. All of these news headlines, they do impact us to some extent. And we're trying to dovetail that into what really matters. And that's what you're, that's the path that you happen to be on. I'm still fascinated almost every day of my career talking to families about their own family finances, that over and over and over again, I'm surprised at how different and unique every scenario is. And I keep thinking that at some point they're going to start repeating and it's going to be the same thing over and over again. And it just never is, because we're all different ages, stages. We have different levels of income. We have different income trajectories. Some rise or some fall. Some stay flat. We all have different number of kids. We're married once, twice, three times. A lady, who knows? But all of those variables make up for this just vast universe of each financial fingerprint that is unique. And that's what keeps things so fun and interesting. You might think this is the money show that covers the same stuff over and over again, but that's not the case. The calls and questions that we get here on Sunday morning, that's the fun part, because again, it's this unique content that we just couldn't make up. And it's the fun part about giving out what we think is the most objective advice as you can find anywhere on radio and in the country. And that's not an exaggeration. I don't know of many shows in the world that we live in today where you get this live call in of, hey, let's call that Wes guy on a Sunday morning. And we love to do it. So that's the number here in the studio. Ryan Ealy with us to take our calls. He's been with me for the last 9 years to take your call, patch it through. And half the time, if I can't get to you, Ryan will give you the answer, because he knows as much about this stuff as I do. So the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. If you're riding in the car, headed to church at this point, maybe you're even done church, having a coffee in the kitchen, reading the newspaper, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or just hanging out, that we're here to chat. Again, 404-872-0750. Phone lines open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. So a massive, massive week of extremes. Here's what we're talking about today. This market-moving speech. So again, it's kind of this big moving week is the theme today. A massive market of extremes. And a lot of it had to do with President Trump and his address to the joint session of Congress on Tuesday night, and it moved the market big time on Wednesday, and we'll talk about that. One of the biggest IPOs we've seen in history came out this week, Snapchat. This, again, a massive IPO, initial public offering. Snapchat went public. And then this massive political swirl between the possible ties to Russia and the Trump administration. And the tweet of the year, it's when I was thinking about this just yesterday morning, or the, let's call it Friday afternoon, thinking that Trump's tweet of the year was calling out Chuck Schumer and his ties to Russia. And Chuck Schumer, with his ties to Russia, eating donuts and Krispy Kreme donut with Vladimir Putin. And then a whole new can of worms came out with these this allegation that Obama was tapping Trump's phone lines throughout the campaign or towards the end of the campaign. And what does all that mean back to the administration, which, again, is a market-moving administration, as we saw on Tuesday night? So we're going to start with it. We're going to get in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about Trump and what that means for markets and why the speech moved equity markets more than 300 points higher the next day. But first, we're going to start with Snap or Snapchat. And we need to talk about this massive IPO that just came out this week. There's not a ton of you listening. If you're tuned in here to talk radio, not a ton of you are probably using Snapchat chat. So it's kind of this, it's a little bit hard for us to relate to, but it is this giantly ubiquitous application on smartphones. And I still just text. So I don't know. Again, Snapchat is this texting feature where you can choose very much like a multi person text string. You'll text 3, 4, 5 people at a time, except you do it through this application called Snapchat. The big difference, and this is why it's so hard for most of us to wrap our arms around this, why is this popular when you can just use texting? Well, one, Snapchat has this amazing feature in the world of holographic technology and reaching the moon and Elon Musk landing a rocket ship backwards on a floating dock in the middle of choppy waters in the seas. This wonderful technology of Snapchat, you can put deer antlers on your head. And that's what makes it so special. You could also, this is amazing, you can also have a vomiting rainbow coming out of your mouth as you send a picture to someone. So the technology is clearly groundbreaking and far-reaching. And that's why it's so hard to understand why this company is so special. However, as you can probably sense a little sarcasm, why millennials and younger folks use this is that the messages you send, they disappear. And that's a big deal. They do disappear after 3 seconds. So you get a snap, you look at it, your friend looks at it, a picture of you with a vomiting rainbow or ears of a fawn, and then in 3 seconds it goes away. And that's really what's made this special. And now this is a company that is valued around $35, $40 billion, around 158 million users. Not giant compared to a Facebook that's close to 2 billion. I want to say something like 68 million active users on Snapchat. So if you're 60% of the user base is 24 years or younger. If you look at the statistics even further up, I want to say it's something like 90% of the users are basically 34 and under. So it's certainly for a younger generation. So if you're younger, if you're 24 or younger and you listen to Financial Talk Radio and you're listening and we're talking about Snapchat, then God bless you. And you're probably wise beyond your years. Now, and you're probably pretty likely to end up a millionaire. That is a good test of you're going to be rich when you grow up. You're probably 22 years old and you're listening to WSB Talk Radio today about money. It's a good sign of you becoming a millionaire one day. Not necessarily like Evan Spiegel, who's the CEO and the co-founder of Snapchat, and his buddy, Bobby Murphy, who founded it with him. But I'm saying millionaires, if you're listening today, 24 and younger, nonetheless. Anyway, Evan and his co-founder, Bobby, are now worth about $5.5 billion after Thursday's IPO. Now, the story is laden with these massive wealth creation anecdotes, just like we saw the Facebook IPO. The CSO, Erman Khan, he's worth $75 million today. That's he has 2.8 million shares. It's about $27 a share. He's the VP of engineering, is worth $180 million. But my favorite story out of this has to do with a high school in Mountain View, California. And this is just one of these wild stories that'll come with this giant creation of wealth, kind of a needle in a haystack. There's a private school. It's a private Catholic school named St. Francis. And I went to their website and looked at their tuition. It's about $17,500 a year. And by the way, for a private school, I guess this is technically parochial private high school in California, actually pretty reasonably priced. So about 1,600 kids at St. Francis. One of the parents, guy's name is Barry Eggers. He is the founder of what's now fairly well-known, at the time probably not so well-known, venture capital company called Lightspeed Venture Partners. His kids were obsessed with Snapchat. We have talked about the very real correlation. If your children are using some sort of technology, there's probably some real value in that technology. You might not see it. You might look at it and say, that's crazy. Just like I said, when my kids were obsessed with Minecraft. And then the next thing you know, these companies get bought for billions of dollars. Twitch gets bought for $1 billion from Amazon. And my kids knew about it long before I knew about it. So this is a very real theme here when it comes to making money. So Eggers reached out to one of his business partners at Lightspeed. They connected with Spiegel, who's the CEO of Snapchat. And the next thing they know, Lightspeed, which is the venture capital firm, invested $485,000 into Snap. At the time, the company was only valued at about $4 million. Over time, they put another $8 million in over the course of the next couple of years. But what's remarkable is back in 2012, when Eggers figured this thing out, he was also a parent at St. Francis, and he was on the board of they had this little growth fund where they could put some of their donations into for technology companies. So the VC firm, his VC firm put in $485,000 and gave $15,000 to the school's fund, and the school's fund put $15,000 into Snapchat. Today, that $15,000 for this little Catholic school is now worth over $24 million. $15,000 to $24 million. That's a $160,000 rate of return over 5 years. The $485,000 that the VC firm put in is now worth over $750 million. That's investing, folks. Sometimes it turns out, sometimes the stories are amazing, and this is one of them. You are listening to Money Matters. When we get back, your calls, your questions, 404-872-0750, right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
And good morning. We are back live. Let's go to the phones here. The number 404-872-0750. We're going to start with, it looks like it's G or G. Which one is it?
It's G, like the letter.
Hey, G. Good morning. What's going on? How can I help?
I have a portfolio that I manage myself, and it's up about 10%. I'd like to try and keep it around 8% for the year, so should there be like a big fall off or anything? I wanted to know if you had any like capital preservation techniques or anything like that that I could look into. Everything I looked at online is kind of vague, so I was hoping you could clue me in on preserving that.
Well, the only way to do it, obviously, is to sell or do some sort of strategy where you're buying protection, which would be you can buy puts to do that on the stock. Or
like options.
Exactly. So you can use calls or puts in a way to preserve your gain, except that costs money too. So it automatically takes away from your gain. So what you're talking about here is just locking in your gains. And really the only way to do that is to sell and wait, right? Then we get into very clearly, and we all want to do this instinctively, G is to time the market. The problem I have here with this is not that I don't blame you for wanting to hold on to your gains. The problem here, and over time, is that market returns are really lumpy. Like last year, you may get a year in 15 that's pretty much fairly flat, up 1 or 2%, and then we get more of a rocket ship year. Last year wasn't quite that way, but the Dow was up 16.5%. This year, what if we get another 15, 16% and you left all that on the table? And then we have some lean years or some negative years. So how do you know when to get back in is the problem. So you've got to be prepared here that if you get out, you got to get back in. Now, I don't think, and this I think for everyone listening, G brings up a really good point, is that we've had a really good market run. And if you're a balanced investor, and G, if you're, how old are you?
34.
Okay, so you're young, so I would doubt you, you probably have mostly stocks. You probably don't have bonds, correct?
I have all stock, completely in stocks.
Now, if you're an investor, and this goes to kind of a broader audience, and you have a balance, but it used to be 50% bonds and 50% stocks, so we've had this long stock run up, and now you're 70% in stocks, because that side has grown faster, then I do think it's a good time to rebalance, which effectively is some, there's a bit of market timing there, because you're selling off some of your stocks and you're buying back into the other side of the portfolio, which would be the bond side. So rebalancing, yes, G, getting in and out of the market is a really tough game to play if you're fully trying to time this thing. I think somewhere in between, and the answer there is rebalancing, is a good idea. You are listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned for more right here on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here in the 9 o'clock hour. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking about Trump. His market-moving speech on Tuesday night. Market the next day up 360 points, settled in around 300 up on the Dow. For the week, by the way, another decent week for the Dow. As we continue to push higher and higher and plow higher ground, up about 0.8% on the week. S&P 500 up 67.67 on the week, so a little over a half, close to 0.75% for the S&P 500. For the year, S&P up about 6.5%, Dow up a little over 6% already on the year. Despite the swirl and despite the churn of everything happening politically, we still are making new highs, all-time highs on the in markets, and that gets investors nervous. So last week we talked about tension in markets. Now we're shifting back to this event that came out, which we had a new IPO this week. The company Snap, the application called Snapchat, and it's not the stock in particular that's important, but it's the pervasiveness of new companies coming to market, raising billions of dollars in capital, and are these things sustainable? And that's exactly what we want to talk about. I want to continue to talk about, is this, does this thing make sense or not, or is it another flash in the pan? And are people going to lose, or investors going to lose billions of dollars here, like they have effectively lost in companies like Twitter? And there's a lot of examples. There's really a graveyard. There is a graveyard of social media stocks and companies that I think it's worth talking about today. So we're going to talk about, what do you do with a Snapchat? Do you dive into this thing? Do you run from it, from the hills? And I think it's worth a discussion here on a Sunday morning. There's a lot of cool things to talk about, and this is one of them. Luke Moss just comes back into the studio after an Oreo run. Did you get Oreos, Luke? What'd you get, bud? My children basically, it looks like Lucky Charms and popcorn. Supposedly popcorn, I said, listen, let's do something that's good for you. And he said, well, popcorn is from corn and that inherently is good. So that's exactly how that argument was lost by me. And Ryan Ely actually just got back from there. You come into WSB Radio and on one of the floors here, they have this wonderful snack cubby. It's like in between a store and a vending machine that you self-buy with a robot, of course. And as a kid, you probably look at that and you love it. And that's the only way I get my kids in here, is they get to go up to that snack bar. Plus, Luke likes to read the weather. So we'll let him read the weather at some point, maybe in the 10 o'clock hour. But let's continue, and then we'll go to the phones here. By the way, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. We'll go to the phones in just a minute here. So let's go back to this. We talked about, I told the story about what I think is the coolest story that's come out of the Snapchat IPO. It was a little school, it's a little Catholic school in Mountain View, California, that effectively put $15,000 into Snapchat back 5 years ago. when it was still a pretty tiny little company. Today, that $15,000 investment, they have an endowment, they put 15 grand in it. It went up 160,000% to the IPO. So the 15 grand is now worth over $24 million. The venture capital firm that first started with Snapchat, they put in, their initial investment was $485,000 today, or on the IPO date, or by Friday, let's say, because Snapchat continued to go up throughout the week, was up, went from 485 grand, so let's call it $500,000, turned into $776 million, so $750 million. Snapchat, by the way, now is worth a little over $35 billion, about 160,000 users. Incidentally, it would for that school, by the way, I did the math here, 1,600 kids, tuition about $17,500 a year. It could cover tuition for about a year for most of the students. About 1,350 students could now go to St. Francis for free for a year. So it's certainly an amazing investment, and they wrote about it. It's right on their front homepage, and they're proud of it, and they should be. Kind of a swing for the fences that paid off more than a grand slam. Who knows how they actually use the money? But it's enticing to think, and that's the fun part of investing. I mean, if that part is not fun, then I don't know if you have zero emotion in you as a human being. So think about this. He put 15 grand in. Now it's worth 24,000. That's exciting. It's kind of remarkable, and it's really powerful. But there is also this, like we talked about earlier. This is the graveyard of social media companies out there. Friendster. I guess I remember this company, but not, I don't think I ever used it. Friendster had 75 million users. It's now gone. It's defunct. It closed June of 2015. Yik Yak. Yik Yak was a company, well, is a company. They're still operating. They're started in Atlanta. And it wasn't that long ago I interviewed the founders of Yik Yak, young guys. Ambitious, smart guys. They had this social media app that the uniqueness of it was that it geofenced, so you could only chat with the people in your section, let's say if you're at a Falcons game, right? That started out, they raised a ton of money. So a couple venture capital firms gave them $73 million. I mean, these are giant sums of money. And now they just laid off 60% of the workforce. So that company is not heading in the direction that a venture capital firm wants them to head. And most of that $73 million will be lost. Most of that money will go to zero. MySpace, you remember MySpace? News Corp bought MySpace for $580 million and sold MySpace in 2011 for $35 million. What's the math on that? I didn't even... That math is what, about $530 million? They lost almost $500 million on MySpace. Pretty amazing. $545 million loss. Bebo. Now, I had not even heard of Bebo, but it was in a Wall Street Journal article that talked about this. Bebo, kind of like the British version of Facebook. AOL bought Bebo back in 06 for $850 million, okay? These are big sums of money, close to a billion. And then they sold it in 2008, so 2 years later, they sold it for $10 million. So they put in $850 million, they sold it for $10 million. So they lost $840 million. I mean, talk about wealth destruction here. Look at Twitter. Now, Twitter's still viable. The jury is still out on Twitter. Ryan and I had an argument about Twitter on Friday. He's making the bull case for it. I was making the bear case. Who knows who ends up right here on Twitter. But Twitter launched in 2013, had a pretty successful IPO, kind of shot up, kind of a moonshot. Everybody got rich. And now it's down 60% from its IPO price because they've stalled out on adding new people. So we have these are massive extremes here. Facebook, Snapchat, or parent company called Snap. They have been almost these once-in-a-lifetime Grand Slam investments. And these are the stories that get you perked up and you're thinking, wow, this perks up the greed in all of us. So I'm here. The reason I'm reviewing some of these other social media companies that made lots of headlines and people were very excited about, I'm here to kind of throw a little cold water on this whole story and remind you that for every home run, or in really Snapchat's more than a home run, it's a triple grand slam, there are dozens and really hundreds of catastrophic strikeouts. Just remember that. Just remember that. Now, I can't imagine that social media is ever going away at this point. It's just a new form of media, so it's not going to go away. Twitter will stream, by the way, they have a contract with the NFL starting, they're going to do Thursday night games. So they're going to do, I think it's something like 10 Thursday night games in the next NFL season. So it's really just becoming a form of media consumption. Facebook, Instagram, well, Facebook bought Instagram, so it's all in one now. They're really video platforms now. They've evolved to become more and more of a video platform. I do a Facebook Live every Wednesday at noon. People tune into that. We get 5,000-6,000, we had over 5,000 viewers on this last Facebook Live on Wednesday at noon. And if you go to Wes Moss Money Matters, you can, if you like the page, then you get a little, you might get an alert. That's what's so funny about Facebook. If you're engaged with the page and you click on, you know, show me this first, then you get a little alert that says, hey, Wes Moss is now live on Facebook. So they have this formula on, if you're really interested in the content, you'll get a little update that says, hey, these guys are live now. But it's hard to see all these small startups usurping these now mega dominant players because they have so much capital and they have so much cash flow. Remember when Facebook did a little ATM withdrawal one morning after coffee, Zuckerberg was like, I'm going to go to the ATM. I'm going to take out $1 billion. I'm going to buy Instagram. He did that one morning after coffee. Guess what? There's another $34 billion still in the ATM machine. So they could buy 34 more versions of Instagram and still have cash left over. That's how big and dominant these companies are. So for me, I'm not saying there won't be new players in social media, but it's seen this tremendous maturity and consolidation to a few heads of state, like we've seen in a lot of other industries. Think about it. There's Coke and there's Pepsi and there's Nike and there's Adidas and there's Samsung and there's Apple and there's Walmart and there's Target and there's Home Depot and there's Lowe's and there's Boeing and there's Airbus. I guess I keep going on forever on this. Verizon and AT&T. But what I'm saying is that, and I'm not saying that there's only room for two of these companies, but maybe the big two in social media and video chat and throwing up rainbows will end up being Facebook and Snapchat. The jury is still out, though. We don't know. It's going to be hard to ever see Facebook go away. They are getting close to 2 billion users, and they are an absolute cash flow machine. But who knows? The jury is still, they're still out on Snapchat. These social media platforms, They're virtuous cycles. So they either get more users, so more people use them, or they start to lose users and less people use them. So it's self-fulfilling prophecies in either direction. And that's why it seems to be either these bright flames that keep going or they completely burn out. And the jury is still out. Do more people use Snapchat in a year from now at a significant level or not? If the answer is they're relatively flat user growth between now and next year, then I think that the company will spiral. It'll end up in a death spiral. If they are up 30% in user growth, then it'll probably keep going. And that's what makes investing so fun and so interesting. We'll go to the phones when we get back from break. Again, 404-872-0750. You are listening to Money Matters with me, your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday from 9 to 11 on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, we're back live here with some xylophones on a Sunday morning. We'll go to the phones, 404-872-0750. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. And we love taking phone calls. So let's start with Bill in Canton. Bill, what's up? Good morning. How can we help?
Good morning. How are you? One yes, no question, and then another one. When I look at a chart of a stock or a mutual fund over time, does that merely reflect the price over it, or does it also reflect the dividends?
It depends on where you're looking is the answer. And what if you go to, are we talking about Yahoo Finance or Google Finance? What sites are you talking about?
Yeah, well, like I usually go to Yahoo, but I also go into the Vanguard site as well.
Those are price-only reflections from what I can... Yes, they are almost always just the price. In fact, which brings up a really good point, Bill, you look at a chart for the S&P 500, and I'm recalling a chart from 1928, let's say, until the end of last year, you would see that the S&P 500 in price has averaged about 5.5% per year. If you then look at a separate chart that counts the dividend that gets reinvested every year, then you get a total return of about 9.8% per year, because the dividend is a giant impact on your total return for all of us as investors. So it adds 42-43% of your total return comes from dividends. But here's the other question, is that there are a few places you can find online that also reflect dividend reinvestment. So if you go to Yahoo, you go to Google, you go to Vanguard, you type in a price, you're just going to see the price itself, which again, that's important, but it doesn't count the reinvestment of the dividends. There is a free website, and it's powered by Quandl, which is kind of like Bloomberg, but the free version of Bloomberg. So we have several Bloomberg terminals at my office, and they're expensive. It's like $35,000 a year per terminal, Bill. Yeah. But Quandl is free, and it does some of the same stuff. They actually have a stock return. They call it a drip calculator, and it actually does count the price plus the dividend that gets reinvested over and over again. So the website, it's actually kind of a weird website. It's DQYDJ. I'll say it again, DQYDJ.com. And that's where you'll find a dividend stock reinvestment calculator, which I think is super important and just not quite as prevalent online. Thanks for your call. I think we all learned a lot from that one. Hey, listen, 10 o'clock hour, we're coming up. We're going to get into more of your phone calls and questions. We want to talk about Trump. We want to figure out what his comments and why they moved the market so much this week. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.